KNBR, KNBR FM, San Francisco, the sports leader, a Cumulus Media station. Steve Young is joining us on the UMA guest line. Hello, Steve. How are you?
What do you say, Rod?
I say, sir, it is good times right now. Thanksgiving Eve. You know, we can finally have a normal Thanksgiving after these past interesting few months here in this country. The Niners are playing the way that they want to play offensively and defensively. It's good right now. Real good.
It's really good. In fact, it felt like the old days where we just pummel the people that we're supposed to pummel.
Sure.
We look great at doing it. Like, it just feels, and we're playing. I mean, I felt like the offense getting healthy, getting back with a quarterback that's played well before, like, we could get that going again. But the defense felt like it wasn't. And I don't know, Jimmy, I don't know who's the dog that came out, but I suddenly whatever they've done defensively the last couple of weeks has really raised the bar. Now you start to dream a little bit. Like, we were a little flat on our back. We were talking about last stand and, you know, what are we going to do? And now I think that I got to give everybody credit. Everybody that last 2 weeks decided it wasn't going to go down that way. And it's in the NFL, it's hard to do that and to actually speak back to the league that, you know, there's a lot more left in us. And I have. And now it's just a matter of, you know, extending and you start to dream a little bit. Like, okay, so you look at the record, you think to yourself, okay, we got on a run here. We put four in a row. And then, you know, who knows? With the Rams, the way they looked last week, with, obviously, the Cardinals tough to catch, but you start to dream again, which is that's from where we were 2 weeks ago. It is a complete dream,
and awesome. Obviously, it's more than, you know, how one guy or one portion of the team plays, because they're playing their football because they're playing smart, winning football, the win and turnover battle, no penalties, no dumb stuff. But because this is football nowadays, we focus 100% on the quarterback. So to stay with Jimmy. He is as accurate and as decisive as we've seen him in a long time over these past two or 3 weeks. Going back to the Bears game, 6 touchdowns, 1 interception, and not only is he in rhythm, now you're seeing the accuracy. And because he is accurate now, the receivers, I think, are feeding off of that, and they're doing their part. But it all goes back to the quarterback, whether we like it or not, and just the way he's playing and how everybody in front of him, next to him, around him are playing. I mean, he's really getting this thing going in the right direction.
Well, not only that, we've seen this before, right?
When it's familiar.
Explosive running game, limited up. I mean, it's not like he's throwing 45 times. He's not throwing, you know, it's very controlled. He comes off the play fakes. People are open. The number one guy's there. Like, and Jimmy has the quickest release in the league. So in many ways, this is the spot where he has thrived before. And he will thrive every time you give him this kind of help. And every quarterback in the world needs help. The idea that you can do it alone is never the case. But really, in particular, we know this. We know how, with an explosive running game, and that just changes everything. And then he can be that, you know, 20 of 24 for 290 and 3 touchdowns and be really explosive in the red zone. That's where Jimmy thrives. And I think that's if we could do that every week. And keep that going every week, and that's the thing that was 19. That was 2019,
yeah.
Right? That's exactly what we did. So we're back, and we got to keep that going. And the second that running game starts to throttle down, you'll know that things get much more difficult. And we've seen that before. Like, it's not, and in a way, I mean, I think that we hope that things don't have to cycle through every time. But we know what that looks like. We know what. Well, you know, every aspect of when we're not getting the ball back, the defense is going to have the long drives, and they're getting up the easy scores, and the defensive backs look lost. We know what that looks like, too. So, you know, we got it all covered. Nothing's going to be confusing here, and we can all watch. Every 49er fan can watch the game and go, oh, we know what's happening here, and for good or for bad. And I think that's what's nice about it. Very defined. We're not wondering at all at what it's going to take for the 49ers to get the, you know, to get to where they want to go.
Yeah. You know, it's been such an enjoyable couple of weeks. I mean, they committed to the run. They're winning the turnover margin. Their third down conversion rate is way higher. The target share is more balanced among the receivers. They're dominating the time of possession. Jimmy's passing it out of the shotgun. He looks very comfortable. Debo's running it as a running back. But, Steve, if I said to you, what is the biggest key to this Niner turnaround, what would you point to? Is it one of those things that I'm not thinking of? Or what would you see as the biggest key to their turnaround?
Honestly, to me, when things really started to unravel a couple, 3 weeks ago, 4 weeks ago, it was because I didn't feel like our defensive backs could, you know, it was just it felt like there was a lot of blood on the floor, and there's nothing that was going to get that righted. The pass rush, you know, it wasn't enough to stop from what we were seeing in the defensive backs. And so to me, the defense, when they're not playing well, because our offense will come and go a little bit. We can make things happen offensively. I think, you know, we'll go into lulls, but it's when that defense started to unravel, it felt like. And then you said to yourself, okay, so who was it that caught the touchdown right at the end of the Colts game? The big, tall freshman, I mean, a rookie. What was his name? It was right in front of him. Kind of put the game away.
Juwan Jennings?
Yeah. No. It wasn't. It was, anyway.
Yeah.
It was like, remember, it just looked pathetic. It just felt that way. And I was like, all the things you just read about what's happening offensively, that are all parts of our winning formula, absolutely check. What we have not, what I didn't think could get fixed and righted and play so well is what the defense has done the last couple of weeks. I'm not taking any away from what Jimmy has done or what the offensive Debo is doing. Completely amazing the fact that McGlinchey's out and all the things that were happening. You know, it's all positive and great. But it's what the defense has done to lock down and try to just claw back what they had lost. Because as I told you, everything is like predatory in the NFL. They smell it. Mm-hmm. Teams smell the weakness. And they smell the weakness defensively. They smell it on both sides, but they really smell it defensively. And you could now respond. That's hard to do. I keep saying that every week. But it's hard to kind of reset the expectations of players when they know they smell it. They know that there's a problem.
Steve Young joining us as he does every week here on the Tolbert, Kruger, and Brooks show. I feel good about the Niners defense going into this matchup against Minnesota's offense because of what we saw from the Niners defense a couple of weeks ago against the Rams. Yeah, it was the offense that did the damage. And clearly the Rams don't have the running game that the Vikings do, but the way the Niners were able to match up and the way that they were able to handle the end of the bargain against the Rams was impressive to me. What do the Vikings say to you specifically, Kirk Cousins and his 21, 22 touchdowns and one interception? Because they are really good at their skill positions, and I'll throw Kirk in there when I give them praise.
Everybody needs to tip their cap to Kirk Cousins right now. I mean, when somebody's got 22 touchdowns and one or two interceptions, even in today's NFL, you just know that someone's playing pretty good football. Now, do we trust Kirk Cousins? No, we haven't. The late games, the big games, those are the things that he struggled at. So we're not done with that yet. Well, we'll keep an eye on that. But right now, you have to say he's playing great football, and good to great quarterback. He's graduated away from the mess that he was always facing. Everything that happened, it felt like, Kirk Cousins, but. And I feel like he's earned his way out of that. Now, it doesn't mean that he's all the way there, but I think that's who we face this week, is a player that's better than you thought. Mm-hmm. Whatever you thought about Kirk Cousins, he's better than that. And I think that's, to the coaching staff and everybody else, when you move up in a level, I think it's like leveling up in a video game, but he's leveled up, right? Mm-hmm. And I think that that's the fact. And he still might disappoint at some level and at some point when, you know, things get hot in the playoffs or something. But right now, week to week, he's leveled up as a quarterback. And so I think all of us should pay close attention to what Kirk's doing. Now, he has helped. If they're like us, we have Jimmy and Kirk have a lot in common in my mind.
Yes.
Because they're both what I would call play action quarterbacks. They need that running game to now use the play action to help them get things done. And Kirk's that way. I think Kirk's probably further along right now at the moment, but Kirk really thrives. If they start running the ball, Dalvin Cook's running the ball, they're doing a nice job of kind of taking the heat off. that's when, you know that they're going to get heated up themselves.
The Rolling Stone Music Now podcast gets inside the biggest stories with Rolling Stone senior writer Brian Hyatt.
Now, here is my conversation with Jacob Knoll. Your story is an amazing one, and obviously you lost your dad when you're only 1 year old.
It was definitely a screwy way to grow up. I think that a lot of people never heard of who I am, and then they see me join this band, and they must think this kid must have just handed everything, or nepotism kid. It's a gift that I have an opportunity to sing in such a big band like my father and my uncle's band, Sublime.
Rolling Stone Music Now, wherever you listen.
You know, it's so interesting watching some of these quarterbacks, the rookies and the veterans. I mean, you know, the most rookie quarterbacks are completing, 55-60% of their passes. And then you got guys like Cousins who, you can't really fool him at this point. He kind of knows where to go with the football. He's seen virtually every look, every blitz package. I'm just kind of wondering for you, because I remember your early days when you played, and I remember how good it got in 94. How long did it take you, Steve, before you felt like, man, this thing has slowed down. There's nothing that a defensive coordinator can throw at me that I'm not prepared to counter?
It never gets easy. Anyone says it gets easy, I think they're a little bit of a liar. It's a tough job. I think that you start to be able to dictate terms. I think it flops or flips to where you're always playing a little bit behind every, whatever's happening on the field. You're not dictating. You're kind of taking it from the defense. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden you can start. I just felt like I could start to dictate. I would say from 91 to 92. So I think it was kind of, that's where the transition take. And not a lot of it was coaching. I felt like Mike Shannon helped me dictate terms back into the defense. He really kind of became an aggressor to it. I wasn't even a mindset, but I think also I played enough that I could kind of get to that place. It's hard to say. I think there's people always say, how do you know when all the levels of quarterback, when I say level up, some guys top out, like, it never does happen. Mm-hmm. They never quite get to that place. And so you can play forever. And it really is. Like I say all the time, a guy like Kyler Murray, how great is he in the playoffs? He doesn't know, right? Cause you don't know. You got to get there. Like, it's like and even as you get a veteran players that you've seen, they think they've seen everything. There's new filters, new hurdles, new things you have to go through, and constantly you're having to rededicate yourself. That's why I admire Tom Brady so much, constantly rededicating to the preparation. That's the problem that people get into. They go, oh, I'm pretty good. I'm in my cruise control. I'm good to go, and you're not doing the work anymore, and then all of a sudden your game falls off.
I want to pick your brain about the situation in Seattle. Do you have a thought on it, a read on it? Because it sure looks like it's coming to an end. It's either going to be a new quarterback here in the not-too-distant future, or there's going to be a new coach. But right now, that does not look like the same fearsome outfit from a few years ago.
No, this is the first time probably in our memory that we can think about them being out of it. And it really becomes a referendum on Russell Wilson. Mm. Because in the league, if you don't have a quarterback or a plan for a quarterback, and if Russell really does want to get out, and he does get out, it leaves the question for the Seahawks at this point is all about Russell Wilson. And if they can retain him for another 10 years, like, he's the kind of guy that will probably play 17, 18, 19 years, 20 years. I mean, he's that kind of a guy. And is it the second half of his career, is it going to be as a Seahawk? If not, the Seahawks, to me, become one of 20 teams just searching for a guy. They never, whether they find him or not, whether they can have someone fall in their lap like the Patriots did last year, then fine. But other than that, I think the Seahawks become a middling hang-around team into the future. Now, if they sign Russell back, then everything, then they can reconfigure and do the things that they've done really nicely in the past. I give them a lot of credit. They've stayed the top half or the top third of the league as long as maybe anyone on the Patriots, maybe a couple other teams like Tampa Bay, maybe Packers, 49ers. There's not even the 49ers can say that. But so I think the Seahawks have that history. I think this is the, I don't know what the thing is, referendum on whether that can continue right now, as if they can hold on to Russell Wilson. And the league, again, the season's kind of gone, and now it's just one, there's only one question you have to ask yourself with the Seahawks going forward. Is this, what can they re-sign Russell Wilson?
So I'm asking you to speculate, but if they keep Russell Wilson, does Pete Carroll stay?
I don't know. Pete's been around a long time. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know how it is in the NFL, about 10 years in, everybody's up for
right. Referendum. Start tuning you out.
Pete's Pete's the best. But I think that's an interesting kind of idea. Like if Russell's – look, we can't say this. We can just kind of speculate. But as long as you're speculating with me, Rod, that if Russell says, look, I'll stay if Pete goes. I have no idea if that's the situation. I know, but that's the kind of interesting kind of dilemma. And that's where they are. Those are the kind of fundamental conversations they need to have so they can figure out what they're going to do.
Because do they think the same?
Like it's all falling apart.
Do they have the same offensive mindset? Because last year, when it was all about Russell Wilson, things were going well for the Seahawks, and then they completely turned it around and went back to sort of a Pete Carroll way of doing things, and it had success. But clearly, there's some disconnect between Russell Wilson and the Seahawks. And I think when you think the Seahawks management, you immediately think of Pete Carroll. So yeah, I'm more than willing to speculate. It seems like that those two being a duo. I mean, hell, man, if Brady and Belichick can fall apart, that duo can fall apart too.
Well, you've already seen it, Rod. I mean, in the offseason when Russell says, I'm done.
Right.
He was done with Pete and his son and everything else. Now, they did a nice job of keeping it under wraps and figuring out a way to go forward for at least this season, unlike the Packers. The Packers thing became a drama, you know, that went on and on and on. Where you think about the Seahawks, Russell and Aaron said the same thing in February. Exactly the same thing.
Yep.
But then all of a sudden, it's like, hey, look, let's just take our time. Let's figure it out. I give them all credit. So in that way, the Seahawks have shown you that they have solutions, that they're willing, you know, things that they can do to kind of maintain, you know, their level of consistency with both of them. Who knows? But it does feel like there's a, you know, I always say, you know, come out in the driveway of the car and it's leaking oil. Like you can start to smell the oil leaking out of the Seahawks. We'll see how it goes. But give them credit. They've already been the Aaron Rodgers route and handled it pretty well. It doesn't mean it's over. But you know as soon as the Packers get beat in the divisional round when they don't have enough receivers and they have other thing to blame and Aaron Rodgers can't move around because of his foot or whatever else that hangs around, they don't get there because they figure that's what's going to happen to the Packers. Then the next question is, well, Aaron Rodgers, what are you doing? And then you know how it'll be. It'll be another 6 months probably of who knows.
Yep.
And that's you talk about distraction. That's just terrible.
Steve, I don't know if you caught the highlights this weekend because I know you're doing your whole thing on Mondays. But in the loss to the Vikings, Aaron Rodgers had a play this weekend. And maybe it's just that new camera angle that they show you from what looks like, you know, above the quarterback's ear. But you got a crowded pocket. You got guys flying up the middle at Rodgers. And he kind of sidearmed it through a bunch of arms to Valdez Scantling. And he hit him in dead stride. And I'm just watching.
For the touchdown? Yeah. The touchdown with 2 minutes ago?
I mean, how freaking incredible was that throw? That was
that's pretty cool.
That I mean, even a quarterback, a guy who did this for a living, has got to be somewhat impressed by that kind of a throw.
Larry, I always wanted that camera angle. I wish it would come down a little bit more because you really, it still gives you a little above the fray. But I wish they could get a camera right in the quarterback's helmet. Because if people could just live there for a little while with us, they'd be like, how do they even get a ball off?
They'd never rip a quarterback again.
Never. You never would. But the fact is, Aaron is at that place where everything's slowed down. And so he knows as Valdez Scantling starts across the field on the early side of the hash, he knows that's where I want it to go. And now it's got to find a way to deliver it while it's all happening around him. And so you've done it so much, you have a sense, like, I'm in trouble. Do I have another fraction of a second? And then what's my arm angle? That's the thing that he's at that place, and that's an appreciation. I'm glad you caught that, Larry, because I think the great players in the game are like anything else. You can't completely appreciate because you can't stand in their shoes. But every once in a while, something like that happens, and I appreciate that you pointed that out. That the rest of us can look at it and go, wow.
Yeah.
You
know? It was a wow moment. Yeah.
Yeah. And I think that's really worthwhile because the guys that are really tough, I remember Peyton Manning. I would stand, you know, after I'd retired and been around for a couple of years, and I watched Peyton throw the football. And remember, Peyton couldn't run anywhere. And I always could run somewhere. So I always thought to myself, Dan Marino and Peyton Manning and even Tom Brady, that's the triple wow for me, is to know you can't go anywhere. And now you got to figure out some crazy, and Aaron Rodgers can still get out and go, so like he doesn't have to get stuck. But the guys that are stuck there, there are times when Aaron Rodgers, I mean, when Peyton Manning would let go of the ball, and I'd be at a Monday night game, and I'd be watching him, and I think, what? You got to be kidding me! It would flutter out there, you know what I mean? Like it never was a spiral, but it would come out so early. I'm like, where is that headed? And all of a sudden, you know, Dallas Clark would turn his head and catch it in his, right in his face mask, you know. And I'm like, you know, I guess that you hone your skills to your talent.
Yep.
And the fact that Tom and Peyton and Dan Marino couldn't go anywhere, I think it forces those skills to be honed even beyond what I could even imagine. Because, yep, you know, I could always have an escape hatch. And so there's a lot of times when I would think, I cannot believe he just let that ball go like that. Mm. I mean, it was a lot of fun to watch people like that.
You would think that Dan Marino's quick release at arm strength was born out of the fact that he wasn't the most mobile guy. And a couple things about Aaron Rodgers, his mobility limited to a certain extent because he's got a broken toe. He had it in the game this past Sunday, so, you know, that throw was out of necessity. And that behind the quarterback, a camera on a wire, that Madden video game camera angle, I think that's the best camera angle in sports. And football, you should at least be given the option to watch a football game that way, where you see the line of scrimmage and you basically see what the quarterback can see, even though it's above the quarterback.
Because I wish that they'd get, they're getting bolder and bolder with it, Rod.
They should
and I
do
would
it.
Love it.
Yes.
I would love it if they get it right at 6 foot level, but okay. I know they probably would never just from a competition problem. Like, what if it ever got hit? What if something? But if it was back enough and they had the magnification, they could probably set it back 20 yards and set it right at 6 feet a couple times. Just it for fun.
Yeah.
Just set it right at 6'3 or 6'4 and just set it there. And then maybe they can get an even better view of what the quarterback's looking at. Because I throw an interception by someone who tipped the ball, a defensive lineman or something, and I always wish that there was a mic that I could go to the sideline and, you know, excuse me, I've seen this before, but excuse me, that ball was perfectly thrown, perfectly timed. Reggie White threw his hand up out of nowhere. Trust me, you just want to tell people that the thing looked like a piece of crap, but it was actually a thing of beauty. I wanted an appreciation. You know, it's like, you can't appreciate that ball was headed in the most amazing place you would all love, except for the stupid big dumb defensive lineman that put his hand up in the middle of nowhere.
Check 1-2. This is Steve Young. Everybody, that was not my fault. So please stop screaming.
No, it wasn't about not my fault. I just an explanation of like, you don't have any idea how great that throw was.
This is a hard job. We are so thankful for you and you being a part of our show. Seriously, it's the highlight of our week, and that's not to throw any shade on our other guests, but the conversations we have with you are just so fun and so real and so organic, mainly because you give of yourself, your time and your personality. So thanks a ton for that. Happy Thanksgiving to you and your family, and have a great one, and we'll talk next week.
Jeez, Rod, you guys, you know how much I love you guys, and enjoy the conversation. You know, my family's not, you know, my boy is a music theater major. My other boy's a, you know, kind of a gamer. And neither of them love played football, which is fine. I've loved getting being their dad and you know, becoming a different kind of a dad on different things that they love. But I don't talk football much. So this is I'm on the couch with you. I'm like, this is my catharsis. This is my chance. So it's always fun. I love you guys. I'm really happy Thanksgiving to you, to Tommy. I know he's not there, but to everybody out there, I hope that they can find some healing with their family this weekend, you know, when they're together. Maybe make the extra effort to try to find that healing, that space where Thanksgiving and family, it's kind of what it's about. So prayers out to everybody, and hope they ever get a chance to unplug a little bit. So,
and Steve, never, copy Daniel Jones's pregame routine here on the football field.
No, I got ripped. I got to be honest. Hey, I got ripped by that. But my point was, My Tom House texted and tweeted out that I was like, Steve's an idiot, doesn't know what he's talking about. But I would tell you that I know that that's a warm-up routine that nowadays to kind of fire the deltoid.
Right,
I mean, I'm fine with that. But do not, on the road, come out on a Monday night with the international sign of I surrender.
Like, do not. Seriously. It's a bad look. The optics are bad.
No, that's what I'm saying. The job is hard enough. How many times have I told you guys that? Not about warm up in the international sign of I surrender. I don't think fire the deltoids in the locker room. Bro.
Exactly.
Fire the deltoids out on the field when we can make fun of it. I don't understand that.
That was great.
Tom House is mad at me for not explaining that, but I do understand, Tom, that it is. you know, about firing the deltoids, but do not fire the deltoids down the field. And I can, you know, like, no, no, especially for, hey, look, Tom Brady can come out and give the international sign of surrender because we know that he's not going to.
Right.
Daniel Jones can't afford it.
You haven't earned that credibility yet.
No, he hasn't earned that.
Oh, it was funny TV, man. It was funny TV. Gosh. Booger making fun of it. You guys were all laughing. Yeah. That was great stuff, man.
Holy crap. That's good stuff. All right. Happy Thanksgiving.
Thanks, Steve.
To you, sir.
You
all the best.
Take care.
Thank you very much.
Our house is a mess. Come on in. I'm Amber Wallen, internet comedian and host of your new favorite podcast, Fly on the Wallen.
Okay, that's pretty presumptuous to assume that this is going to be their favorite podcast, by the way.
Anyway, that wasp that you just heard interrupt me is my husband.
And co-host, Benjamin Wallen.
Listen in as we discuss relationships and keeping our sweet baby kid alive.
Fly on the Wallen, wherever you listen.